This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
According to the Mental Health Commission of Canada, many different approaches have been put forward as ways of helping to improve health and social outcomes for people living with mental health problems and illnesses. These are referred to by different names and include psychosocial rehabilitation, resiliency, healing and wellness, chronic disease management, mental health promotion, and illness prevention. They share many common elements while each retains its particular characteristics. One set of principles that has become central to mental health policy and practice in many countries around the world revolves around the concept of recovery. Here in Canada, a May 2006 Senate report on mental health and addictions called for recovery to be placed at the center of mental health reform. Numerous other reports and policy documents have also embraced a recovery orientation. But mental health programs and systems are just beginning to address the many dimensions of a recovery-oriented transformation. Today, we take on a closer look at the recovery model in mental health settings.
We're joined on the phone by Chris Somerville, who is CEO of the Canadian Schizophrenia Society. Welcome to People First Radio, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, recovery is considered new school. What's the old school that's being left behind?
Well, the old school, based on the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Illnesses, was that severe mental illnesses like schizophrenia and bipolar, basically it was a kiss of death diagnosis, and that was, you know, here are some medications, go home, your life is basically ended. And it was thought that functional improvement was not possible with people with schizophrenia. But what has happened after deinstitutionalization and looking at some long-term or longitudinal studies, we found up to 70% of people who had significant mental illnesses were getting on with their life. So what that led us to compare from the narrative stories or the first personal stories of people was that the goal of the mental health system is not just to treat mental illnesses, as we've historically done, you know, treat symptoms, but it's to help people with mental illnesses have a better of life. To regain a quality of life. And many people have not been able to do that because we've not addressed the losses associated with having something like a psychotic disorder, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder.
So what exactly then is meant by recovery? And I'm getting here at the question of process or an end state of some kind.
Well, it's a philosophy. It's a paradigm. It is a process. It's how you relate with people. So, I mean, the best definition of recovery is minimizing the impact of the mental illness. So if you have schizophrenia, you certainly want to minimize the impact, but then also maximize the well-being. And so one of the definitions of recovery that comes out of the Scottish Recovery Network is that recovery is being able to live a meaningful and satisfying life as defined by each person in the presence or absence of symptoms. It's about having control over an input into your own life. Each person's recovery, like his or own experience of the mental health problem, is a unique and deeply personal process. So under the recovery model, what we address are not only symptoms and medication management, but if it's a severe disabling mental illness, then you have to deal with the losses of friends because of stigma, loss of employment, loss of housing, loss of income. So people are recovering from those lack of social determinants of health, or they're really recovering from a social disability model, because all the disabilities and the struggles and the suffering that people with a persistent mental illness have is hardly due to the symptoms, but to how society relates to people.
There are a number of principles of recovery, a whole list of them, in fact. Here's one of them I'm going to read, that recovery is seeing yourself and responding to others as a person rather than as an illness. Tell us more about that.
Well, there's just a report out this month it's entitled Stigma, Reflected Appraisals, Recovery Outcomes, and Mental Illness, and it's from a social psychology journal, and it's talking about the impact of how you view people with mental illnesses. So we know that there is social prejudice by doctors. That influences how they treat people. Oftentimes, people's family of origin, how they view the individual, that has a negative impact on the person's ability to move towards this journey of recovery because they absorb the self-stigma or they absorb the stigma. One of the things that a person is going through when they experience psychosis, hallucinations, delusion, bipolar disorder, is that there's a loss or struggle with identity. Who am I? The craziness of the brain as it is, and then the person trying to get back where they are, the impediments are how people view them, environments that are not recovery promoting. Some of the values of a recovery model or a recovery practitioner is that they operate from the values of self-determination, hope, choice, creating opportunities. And so, there's no medication that reduces stigma, social prejudice. There's no medication that will give you decent, affordable housing. There's no medication that will help you to get a job. So it's more than medical treatment. It's helping people to live beyond the limitations of mental illness through illness management, stress management, achieving personal goals, and hopefully the medication and the recovery treatments don't get in the way of that as they have historically.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at CHOY.ca.
Approximately 25% of people diagnosed with serious mental illnesses get to the point where they can be considered cured, in that they show no observable signs or symptoms and experience no residual impairments. Even in the strict clinical sense, these individuals have recovered from mental illness. On the other hand, when used by many people living with mental health problems and illnesses, recovery has a very different meaning, which may or may not include cure. Recovery can be defined as a way of living a satisfying, hopeful and contributing life, even with the limitations caused by illness. We're speaking with Chris Somerville, who is CEO of the Schizophrenia Society of Canada and a director with the Mental Health Commission of Canada, about the recovery model in mental health programs and services.
Chris, recovery from the consequences of mental illness is sometimes more difficult than potentially recovering from the illness itself. And you gave some examples of challenges in the first half of this interview. People can also be recovering from the mental health system itself. Tell us more about that.
Well, yeah, people recover from mental illness. They recover from the symptoms. They recover from the side effects of the medication. But they also are recovering from mental health systems that were not recovery-oriented. And still are, many are. We have some best practice model centers of excellence across Canada. But what happened in those old systems, which are still current in many places, is that it was power over people as opposed to power with people. And so people were not given trust. It was all about risk and fear and increased disability. Power with people, which is very person-centered, so a recovery-oriented mental health system would not be illness-centered, but person-centered, and that's the power with the person, enhancing choices, promoting hopes and dreams. And so consequently, person still may have symptoms, all right? I still struggle with symptoms of depression. Most of the people I work with that have schizophrenia, they still have some presence of some symptoms, but what they're doing, there are four things if I could quickly suggest. They're finding and maintaining hope, believing in themselves. They're not seeing themselves as schizophrenic. They're reestablishing a positive identity that incorporates the illness, a positive sense of self. They're building a meaningful life by making sense of the illness, finding meaning in life. And they're taking responsibility and control, not only of the illness, but of their life. So it's an emphasis on person, not mental illness. And there's a difference between a recovery-oriented practitioner and a traditional practitioner.
Now, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Chris, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, it's the job of the mental health system to create an environment in which recovery can take place. The practitioner, the doctor, psychiatrist, doesn't do the recovery work. It's the patient. And what we want to do in the Mental Health Commission of Canada is to create a mental health system that promotes an environment in which recovery can take place, which incorporates, you know, genuine respect for the client, allowing the client to develop the skills and to accept and value themselves, believing in that client's potential to recovery, and an emphasis on strengths rather than deficits.
Chris Somerville, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Chris Somerville is CEO of the Schizophrenia Society of Canada and a director with the Mental Health Commission of Canada. He has had personal experience with mental illness as a family member and as an individual. You can find the Mental Health Commission of Canada online at mentalhealthcommission.ca.
And we want to acknowledge our use of concepts and content from publications and web posting of the Canadian Mental Health Association and the Mental Health Commission of Canada.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.